All right, we're talking to Jonathan Fay from MSR, and tell us what we've got here.
So this is a Microsoft Research Worldwide Telescope, and we're actually driving it with Xbox Kinect. And so this is using the Microsoft Research SDK that's not quite yet released, but will be soon. And I guess they gave out a whole bunch of Kinects to developers here at MIX.
Yeah.
And this is an idea of how we decided to use our Kinect in order to take an existing project and make it just a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do here is Worldwide Telescope has basically worked with NASA, ESA, Hubble, Spitzer, Chandra, all these space telescopes, all these universities that are doing astronomy research. We try to work with all of them to get all their data online on the web so that we can basically browse the universe using Worldwide Telescope for the purpose of research, education, and outreach, and just general eye candy for the public. So this Kinect basically allows me to come in here and then just fly around the Earth here.
What are the control gestures that you're using?
So, first of all, if I come in, this is like a big trackball. It's got momentum to it, so if I roll the trackball, it'll keep rolling for a while. But if I roll the trackball and put my hand on it, I can stop it again.
Very cool.
So basically, this gives me this fluid motion, right, where I'm rolling this virtual trackball. Luckily, I don't have like an 8-foot tall trackball here in the room. You wouldn't be able to see the screen. So I can basically look up, I can swipe and look down. And so essentially, when I take my hand away from the ball, move it, reposition it on the ball, and move the ball, and then move it here. So that's the illustration I give. It's actually a little bit more intricate than that.
Yeah.
But essentially, if you think of it that way, then you can start learn how to do it. And then you put two hands in, and when you put your two hands in and just do nothing, it does nothing. But if you move them in a little bit, or if you move them out a little bit, you can control the zoom, and lots of zoom in, lots of zoom out. And so basically, as you move it a longer distance away from that neutral position that you brought it in, that controls how fast you're doing the zooming. We also have other gestures in certain modes that allow you to like turn, go up or down, like when you're tilting on the Earth. And so we can come in and take a look at the whole solar system here. But of course, you know, today was not just about Kinect, but it was also about Windows Mobile 7. And so we have a Windows Mobile 7 application here. And I'm not sure if we can, don't want you to see my email here. We'll go ahead and pop this in. And as we load this application, maybe you can get in the background. So what we can do here is we can fly into the sun here. And we just tap there to the sun, and it's doing a remote control, and we're going to fly in and center on the sun.
So you're doing a socket connection to your PC?
That's correct. Actually, HTTP web requests. So we're using the web client from Windows Phone. So now we have our navigation. So I can tilt up and tilt down, or actually tilt up here, and then I can zoom out here. And as I zoom out, we can see the universe moving. And then we can actually go in and see time. So we can go a million times real time here, 100 million times real time, and you can actually see everything orbiting around. So let's go like a million times real time, and then we'll zoom back in closer, and you can see the planets moving around. And so basically this cool little panorama app will allow us to basically go through, and we do things like turn the asteroids off. We can show orbits, so we can turn the orbits off and have them fade out, turn them back on, and they'll fade back in. That's just kind of a cool little companion app.
Very cool.
For someone who's like doing a planetarium or something.
Yeah.
But we can also use the Kinect menu. And so right now I have the menu showing up on this monitor here, but I can swipe through, select the planet I want to go to, and select it.
And how do you select that?
So basically, we're for the Minority Report style UI that we want.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of holding and waiting for the little timer to click.
Yeah.
We just do a quick a down swipe like that.
Cool.
So a little flick down, and that basically says I want to select that.
Yeah.
And so we can also do things like select here, and we're going to roll around here, and we're going to pick solar eclipse. And so we're actually going to fly back to Earth, and we're going to see the event of this century for Americans, probably the solar eclipse of a lifetime for Americans, because within a day's drive of anywhere in the United States, we'll be able to come in and actually watch the moon blot out the sun. And so check it out right here. We have the moon shadow. This is not real time. This is accelerated.
Yeah.
And this is basically going to go across the country, coming in around Eugene, Oregon, something like that, and then cutting all the way across Carolinas, coming out. And so you can see the International Space Station zipping right over there.
Yeah.
I'd love to be on that and watch that eclipse shadow happen for real. That'd be pretty cool. So we can zoom back out. And as you can see right here, there is the moon and the Earth. And we can actually eclipse the Earth with the moon. And if we back off even further, we're going to pass the sun on that line, because they're all three are lined up, and we can actually examine that geometry. So now you see the Earth and the sun, the Earth, and the moon. Maybe hard to see on your video screen at home, but all three of them are lined up, and that's what's creating that eclipse. We're showing earthquake data for like years worth of earthquake. You can bring in atmospheric information.
Can we take a look at the earthquake data?
Sure. Let's go ahead and as we're coming into Earth here, basically I loaded this data by basically copying an Excel spreadsheet from the National Earthquake Information Center, and I grabbed that spreadsheet and cut it and pasted it into Worldwide Telescope. And then now we can actually see the data in 3D. And as if you look at this, as you move around with the Kinect, you can see that the 3D parallax that we can create with motion in the Kinect allows us to see deep inside the Earth and actually see these earthquakes at the depth that they're occurring.
Very
cool.
And
unlike other types of GIS products, we don't just put push pins on the surface somewhere.
Yeah, so you're not looking at a tennis ball.
We're actually looking at heat maps across space and time with the proper depth, and we can actually speed up time and watch them happen.
That is very cool. And explain why the biggest earthquakes are on the surface.
Well, I'm not a seismologist. I don't know that that's actually the case, but there does seem to be some correlation. Certainly, I'm sure that as the crust is going deeper and deeper into the Earth, it's getting softer and creating less friction, and that probably has a big contributing effect to it. But again,
I'm usually looking up, not looking down. Very cool. And can you do this with other planets, or even like the moon?
Well, let me show you a project that we shipped with a space agency called NASA, and it was called Worldwide Telescope Mars. Mm-hmm. And last July, we announced this to the world, and NASA basically reprocessed virtually all the data they had for Mars and made it publicly available in Worldwide Telescope's TOAST format. You know, a lot of other mapping services on the web use something called Mercator projection.
Yeah.
And Mercator projection is like cigarettes. If it was invented today, it would be outlawed just because it's so bad.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because people think that Alaska and Africa are roughly the same size because of the distortion that Mercator projection provides. But it also means that curves and circles and things like that just don't look the same the way they are.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to provide something that would allow pole-to-pole access with Worldwide Telescope to be able to see the whole sky. And so we created something called the TOAST format. And that basically is a projection that gives you the ability to see an entire sphere without any singularities. And what that means is there's no point in which mathematically you can go only one direction. And so, for instance, the math at the poles for Mercator projection goes to infinity. And on equirectangular projections, all the points on equirectangular for the pole are essentially, it takes the same amount of storage for one pixel at the pole as it does for a one pixel line all the way around the equator.
Wow.
And so that's like incredibly inefficient. So not only is the TOAST projection efficient, but it also is, the poles are nothing special. But the poll in this projection, but the polls are actually very special for scientists, especially since a lot of mapping satellites actually go over the pole every single orbit. And so a lot of other GIS software, basically you try to go to the poles, it turns your machine to mush and maybe catches on fire. Or it basically doesn't even try and you see nothing. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to, the scientists and researchers we work with really need to be able to do study at the poles. And so NASA saw the benefits of being able to produce the data where they can actually, all this wonderful data they collected with a high-rise orbiter that's crossing the poles all the time, they were actually able to put that together and give us incredibly detailed maps of Mars where you can actually go in and we can actually go down and see rover tracks even. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to find, no.
Yeah.
we're not going to find all the rover tracks right now.
So
basically, they put Mars data, you know, from ancient, you know, 150-year-old sketches from people in telescopes that had been collected over the years, to Lowell's drawing, Perseus Lowell's drawings of Mars, all the way to the earliest digital elevation maps. And so now we can actually come in here and we can actually see these canyons and these volcanoes. And this is like a canyon larger than the Grand Canyon that would cover the entire United States. And we can watch as Mars rotating, this canyon is passing right before us right now. And so we're going to be, hopefully in the future, taking a look at those other types of missions and bringing them, you know, all the new missions as they come out, bringing their data in as well. And the ability to have all of this data that's already been collected, as well as bringing your own data, makes Worldwide Telescope a tremendous research platform. But it also makes it a great way of communicating, because built in we have a tour authoring system that allows you to script through, sort of like making PowerPoint slides, except you tell it, this is where I want to start.
Yeah.
You know, I want to start here, and then I want to end here. Right. Instead of having to drive it, it actually does all the driving for you. You just tell it where the stops are, and then it scripts the camera to be able to make very smooth transitions. And so it basically gives you a, you know, Discovery Channel special in a few minutes on your own PC. And then you can actually record audio for that. You can put in overlays. You can put in additional pictures, and then use that and drop in your own data. And use that to communicate. So a researcher can communicate with a colleague, a teacher to students, students to other students, and people just wanting to say, hey, look at what I found in the sky. And so that's one of the powerful tools that that's part of Worldwide Telescope and built in. And virtually everything you can do in Worldwide Telescope, you can turn into a tour and share.
Excellent. Well, thanks for showing us this, Jonathan.
Okay.
It's very cool. Can't wait to play with this.
Go to worldwidetelescope.org if you want to download this for free for yourself.
We'll do.
The Kinect will be available sometime after the Kinect SDK is publicly shipped.